We're nearing the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus gives a warning here. It's a warning that is duplicated throughout the letters of the New Testament, and it's a warning about following that which is false. You know, we all know, some of us were talking before service about there's so many scams out there in our world. They're wanting our money, they're wanting our identity. There are people who have ideas they want us to follow, and they may or may not be telling the truth. People have their own agendas, and it's usually selfish, and they want us to buy into what they have to sell. So how do we determine that which is true and that which is false? Well, we know God's word is truth. From beginning to end, God's word is truth. So that's the measure that we use. And that's why it's so important to know God's word, to be a student of God's word, because the more we learn and grow in our knowledge of God's word, the better off we are as far as recognizing that which is true and that which is false. One of the problems, I think, that we have in our world, especially today, but it's always been true, is the idea of tolerance. Now, we're not here to condemn people. You know, and we can't live other people's lives for them. But sometimes we dislike to live and let live. You know, if you want to believe something that's false, well, that's up to you. I'm not going to correct you. In our world, sometimes people don't like to be corrected. They don't like to be told they're wrong because, well, we don't like it either when someone tells us that we're wrong. But there needs to be within every human the desire to know the truth. What is true? Because none of us like to be lied to. None of us like to be misled. But so often what happens is we live our lives. We've heard what we've heard. We believe what we believe. And then take that for granted. And that we don't need to dig any further to know if something's right or wrong. So many people, I'm reading a book right now of someone from a different religion who was raised a certain way and taught certain beliefs. And so he was committed that, I mean, this is truth because this is what my parents have taught me. This is what religious leaders have taught me. And so this is truth until things began to make him question. And as he began to look for truth, he realized that a lot of what he had been taught was a lie. It didn't hold up to scrutiny. But when he looked to Scripture, he found God's word, which he didn't accept as God's word, made sense. And that became now, that which made sense, that which was consistent, became his rule to follow by. So the question for us as Christians is, do we live by the word of God? As individuals, do we live by the word of God, or do we live, and I mean live, making our decisions, the things that we do and how we treat people, and how we think ourselves, are we thinking and living more like the world says or like God tells us? What is our standard of what is acceptable and what is not? It's easy to listen to modern day philosophy and thinking, which, by the way, is constantly changing, isn't it? Even in, you know, among psychologists and psychiatrists, they don't think today the way they did 50 years ago. It's always changing. But God's word and God's truth doesn't change. God, who created all things, knows how everything's supposed to work. And so we find truth in his word, where he works with sinful, confused people to help us to come to find him. And we cannot grow in relationship with him on our own. He helps us, but we have to endeavor to know him and follow him because he's called us to follow him. Jesus told people, come, follow me. The preaching of the apostles were, come, follow Jesus Christ. But the question is, do we follow or do we worship Jesus and the Father and the Spirit because that's our tradition? If it's out of tradition, then our faith is going to be very immature. But if we gather to worship and we strive to follow Him through the week because we want to know Him and grow in relationship with Him and have the right attitude and do the right things and help people to know the truth, then our worship is going to be more meaningful, not only for us, but to the Lord Himself. Beginning in Matthew 7, verse 13, Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. Only a few find it." You get the picture? There are only two gates. There's the narrow one, and then there's the vast wide one. That's the one that's open to everything. Every belief, every philosophy, every religion, all these ideas that people have, oh, it's wide open and everything's okay and everybody's going down that same wide highway. But it leads to destruction. Only the narrow way. There's only a narrow way to get to God. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, I've run across Christians who don't believe that. Amazingly, but it's true, I've run across Christians who say, oh no, there are many ways to God. What they don't realize when they say that is they just call God a liar. And since the New Testament and the Old Testament are inspired by the Holy Spirit, they've just committed the unforgivable sin, calling the Holy Spirit a liar. Jesus said, "I am the way." It's not just a way, it's the way. "I am the truth and the life." Now, there are other ways, there are other truths, there are other lives, but none of them are the way to God. None of them are the real truth. And none of them are the life that God has for us. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, you know, the Great Commission, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, he said. Think about that. Who has the authority to contradict Jesus? And yet, that's what false teachers do. They find their way around what Jesus said. False religions try to find other ways, rejecting the authority of Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, all authority is His. Therefore, because it's His authority, He says, as you go, make disciples of all nations, immersing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus couldn't be any plainer than that. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded. But that's the problem with the wide way and the wide gate, because anything can go. Anything and everything is susceptible. Everybody's fine with everything. Oh, they may argue among each other, but everything is okay. But there's only one narrow way to get to God. Jesus went on in verse 15 and said, "Watch out. Watch out." Do we take that seriously? And I think much of Christendom has not taken that seriously because, well, just like the wide way, if anyone refers to themselves as Christians, oh, they got to be Christian. And it just isn't so. Watch out for false prophets. Now, when he says false prophets, he's not talking here just strictly about pagan religions. You know, if you know your Old Testament at all, you know that there were many prophets, and the vast majority of them were false, telling lies. And that made it harder for those who were the chosen prophets of God, who were speaking the truth. And oftentimes there was a contest between them. You know, for a king, who's he going to believe? This group of prophets who tell him what he wants to hear? or the prophet from God who was saying, I know this doesn't sound nice, but here's the message from God. That has continued throughout the history of the church. He says, do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, you'll recognize them by their fruit. Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Well, what is their fruit? How do you recognize a false teacher? By their teaching. Does it match what Scripture says? Does it go against or does it go beyond what Scripture says? Now, when we look at Scripture, and this is something I learned this past week, I didn't realize, like the book of the Quran is not a complete flowing book, but it's a collection of little things. It doesn't flow. And some things in it have no beginning or no end of the little things that are found there. I can't word it quite right. I've never read the Quran myself. But the Bible flows, and everything has context. Everything you read in Scripture has context. And so you can find what God means by studying Scripture. But you know, those who don't want to obey God, those who think they have a better way, will try to change it, twist it, to do their own thing. And that's been the history of Christendom. And when you look at Christendom today, there are over 500 different denominations. Over 500. All claiming to follow Christ. Some do far more closely than others. And some just flat out reject the authority of Jesus Christ in all things. Approving of things that the world accepts that God clearly in His Word condemns. And it's because they say, well, Jesus had authority when He was here, but He doesn't now. Now, we are the ones who decide what should be believed and what the practice should be. And it's amazing to me how many people that I've talked with that are higher ups in various groups feel that that is their right. But Jesus said you'll recognize them. That means that if their fruit is bad, so is the tree. If the teaching is false, so is the teacher. He says, beware. Beware. Don't just take things on the surface because somebody who claims to be Christian says this is the way it is. Because our job is to be aware. So check everything out with Scripture. In the book of Acts, Paul has gone to a town, just drew a blank on it, to preach. And he's proclaiming the Word of God. And he says these people were more noble than any place he'd been. And he explained why. Because after he preached, they went to the synagogue. And they dug out the Scriptures to see if he was right. When was the last time you or I went to Scripture to find out if something we heard from a friend or someone at work or in the media or whatever, did we go and check it out and find out? Now, is that really true? Or is that really acceptable? Is that really what God would want me to believe? Noble people, when they hear something strange, they're not sure. Check it out. Even if it sounds good, it doesn't sound strange, still check it out. Always check me out with Scripture. Always. Because I can make a mistake. I'm not one of the apostles. I can make a mistake. But you can recognize a false teacher when the teaching doesn't fit Scripture. And believe me, there's a lot of teaching, and I'm sure you're aware too, a lot of religious teaching claiming to be Christian that isn't what Jesus said. Jesus, read this first. Paul said to the elders of Ephesus, he knows he's going to be arrested. He knows he doesn't know what's going to come after that, but he's going to be arrested. And he tells the Ephesian elders, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you, night and day, with tears. That's how serious false teaching is. Even within the church, there are those who will distort the truth in order to get a following. And Paul warned the Ephesians for 3 years to be careful. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul said, I urged you when I went to Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus, so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have wandered away from these and turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. When you look at how Christendom is divided, you see what Paul was talking about. In 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter wrote, But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. Well, Jesus goes on, and he says in verse 21, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Those who fail to carry out God's purpose are the ones that Jesus is talking about here. These are followers of Jesus who fail to follow, or will only follow so far, pick and choose, but they're not fully committed to the will of God. In Romans 1, verses 5 through 6, Paul wrote, Through him, that is Jesus, and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Notice the emphasis on obedience that comes from faith. Obedience, obedience, obedience. That's what Jesus said at the end of Matthew. Do things his way. In Romans 6, beginning in verse 16, Paul said, Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching in which you are entrusted. You have been set free from sin and become slaves to righteousness. See, either we're going to follow sin or we're going to follow God. And following God is only righteousness. It's not about being a good person. It's about being right with God. And in 2 John verse 6, John wrote, This is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. Many people say, oh yeah, I love God, but they refuse to do what he says because they have a better idea or they have a different tradition. And that can happen to us too. We endeavor to follow Christ and we believe in Him and trust Him. But are we being careful? Are we passively being led astray? Because that can happen if we're not being careful. Remember what Jesus said to His disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. As He's going off to pray, He asked them to stay and keep watch. And each time He came back to them, they had fallen asleep. And He asked the question, could you not stay awake with Me 1 hour? Well, we don't want Jesus on the Day of Judgment to look at us and say, my child, could you not stay focused on Me through your life? I gave My life for you, asking only that you give your life for Me. In 2 Timothy, Paul wrote in chapter 2, verse 15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are His. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Must work to present ourselves approved of God. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. Correctly handle the word of truth. That's not just for a preacher, but that's for all of us. In 1 Corinthians 4:2, Paul wrote, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. And that's not just for himself or for any preacher. It's for all of us. We've been given a trust that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we are to prove ourselves faithful. Prove to whom? To God. God is our judge. God is the one we must please. And with His help, we do. But we can't do it alone. But if we're not maturing in the Christ, in Christ, in our knowledge of God, then what the reality is, we've become lazy and we're proving nothing to God or even to ourselves. See, being a Christian, on the one hand, is easy because everything from God is just so beautiful and so good. But on the other hand, it's hard because it's a commitment of relationship, a commitment to know the God who knows us thoroughly. A commitment to live the way He has recreated us in Christ to live, rather than living as the world says. And that's hard. Because we are of this world. But God has told us through Christ and through the Holy Spirit, yes, you are of this world, but you're no longer slaves to the world. Now you are of God. When we're slaves to this world, we live as the world says. But now, through Christ, we are slaves of Jesus Christ to live as He wants us to live. And when we think of our choices, the way of the world is so alluring, but it's not easy, and it ends in death. The ways of God is even more beautiful, hard to attain, but only with God's help. And the result is life. Let us endeavor to constantly be aware, to watch out for that which is false. Not only for our own sake, but for our children's sake, our grandchildren's sake, for those all around us that we know, that we can know the truth and be free, because the truth sets us free, and we can help others to find that same freedom in Jesus Christ. Right now we're going to sing the song, Wonderful Counselor. And I like that first verse. where it says, "Search me and know me. Lead me and guide me." First is recognizing my own sin and that I need Jesus. And that takes courage to say to the Lord, "Lord, search me and know me." Because He already knows us, but that's an act of submission, of not wanting to hide anymore from the Lord, to let Him see us, warts and all. But then to lead me and guide me is, "Lord, I want to know You, and I will follow and do whatever You tell me, and go wherever You will send me, and speak whatever You will tell me to speak. You indeed are the wonderful Counselor, the only one that I must follow and listen to." Let's stand together, shall we, to sing.